You would turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been looking at the heptadic structure of Scripture. Hepta is the Greek word for seven, and there are many, many sevens in the Bible. We looked at the seven I ams in the book of Genesis. We looked at the seven things God hates in Proverbs chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 5 has seven new things in the Christian life, seven things that happen to you when you become a Christian. John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on my Father who sent me shall have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Keith Miller, 1969, wrote a shocking book that made the Christian bestseller list. It was called A Taste of New Wine. Keith Miller was a church leader in a major high church denomination, and he was at a men's conference, and he was in the men's bathroom, and he heard two other men talking about being born again. It's a lot like Candace's testimony. And he asked them, what does it mean, born again? And they explained it to him and shared the gospel with him, and he got saved. And he writes about this, the taste of new wine. He had been a church guy. He had done all the churchy things. He'd been a contributor, a tender, a worker. And yet he missed the point of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he wrote the book, A Taste of New Wine, about his testimony. It shook up some of the major denominations. And when he talked about when he asked Jesus into his heart, this is the comment in his book. It really is like being born again. Yeah, okay. There are three kinds of people in the world. People that make things happen, people that watch things happen, and people that don't know what happened. And boy, that is true, okay. Actually, there are four kinds of people. There are people that know that they know and people that know that they don't know. Then there are people that don't know that they know. And then there are people that don't know that they don't know. Those are the kind that irritate me. But we know what happens when we become a Christian. Louis Sperry Schaeffer in 1925, now he was a big friend of Dr. Schofield, Dr. Ironside. He founded Dallas Theological Seminary, Louis Sperry Schaeffer, and he wrote a book called Salvation. And in that book, he lists 33 things that happen when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. 33 things. So, you know, Isaiah 43:19, God says, behold, I will do a new thing. Isaiah 42:10, it says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Revelation 21:5, God says, behold, I make all things new. So these are seven new things in this chapter that we get when we become a Christian, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Salvation is moving from a living death to a deathless life. Chuck Swindoll said that. I thought it was pretty good. I thought I'd quote Chuck this morning. Salvation is moving from a living death to a deathless life. So look with me at chapter 5, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a new destiny. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time for everything under heaven. For everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Now there are a bunch of things listed, but what's the first thing? A time to be born and a time to die. When you live in this world, death is as natural as life. And when you're a Christian, death is a transfer to a different place, a new destiny. The Bible uses analogies. What do we compare life with? Life is compared to a race. 2 Timothy chapter 4, probably the last book that Paul wrote. I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for everyone that loveth the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament says, life is like a grain of wheat, John 12, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it cannot bring forth new life and fruit. The seed has to die. Of course, analogy to Jesus. Jesus had to die to bring forth new life. We die so we bring forth new life. We live our eternal life. A reward. Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, for they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So, chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is a Latin word. Tabernaculum is a word for tent. Now, I've camped out in a tent. I have never lived in a tent. A tent is a temporary dwelling for most of us. Some of you have camped out in a tent. The Greek word is skynos. Paul was a tent maker. And he likens our life to a tent. What happens to a tent? You fold it up when you go home. What happens to our body? We fold it up when we go home. Our body is a tent. This is an earth suit for our soul. And the body is temporary. The soul is eternal. The Greeks called the body a tomb. When your body died, your soul died. What do you get when you die? It's interesting. I asked my students that at college. And what do you get? Do you get a shovel of dirt in the face and then your worm meat? Now that's a tad blunt, but it wakes them up. They look up from their phones. Okay. What did he just say? Okay. But what do we get? The body is a temporary container. It's an earth suit. What happens? We trade this tent for a mansion. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return and bring you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We trade the tent for a mansion. 1 Corinthians 2:9. The eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 John 3:2. My little children, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. And this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. When this corruption hath put on incorruption, this mortal hath put on immortality, thus shall it be filled that which was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin is death. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we get is a new destiny. We get a home in heaven. Now look at verse 5. We get a new walk. Chapter 5, verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible has a lot to say about walk, because walk is a metaphor for life. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of your calling. 1 John 1:7, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. We walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? We use revelation instead of reason. Well, that doesn't make any sense, but that's what God told me to do. You know, we talk about sevens in the Bible. It didn't make any sense to walk around Jericho seven times and blow seven trumpets and the walls would fall down. But they did, and the walls fell down. Okay? It didn't make any sense to build an ark when it had never rained before. But Noah built the ark. By the way, amateurs built the ark. Experts built the Titanic. Just remember that. Amateurs built the ark. It was the experts that built the Titanic, okay? Yeah, all right. Reason versus revelation. 1 Corinthians 1:27. For God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things of the mighty. Or Isaiah 55, as my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. As the heavens are higher above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, God says. Miss Bertha Smith, Southern Baptist missionary to China, Miss Bertha took no prisoners. She said, Bertha Smith, she said, when I die, I don't want men carrying my casket. Not one would ask me out while I was alive. I don't want six carrying me out after I'm dead. But Miss Bertha would say, discern, don't decide. Don't decide, discern. What does God want? What's God's will? We walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? This little boy prayed for a bicycle. Man, he prayed for a week. God send me a bicycle. God bring me a bicycle. God bring a bicycle. No bicycle. Okay? He goes over to the Catholic Church and steals the statue of the Virgin Mary out of the yard and takes it home and sticks it under his bed. Then that night he prays, okay, Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, give me a bicycle. That's not what we're talking about, okay? We have a new destiny. We have a home in heaven. We have a new walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. We have a new desire. Look at chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. Let me get back to where I'm supposed to be. Okay. Verse 9. Wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him. We want to be accepted of Jesus. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Ephesians 1:6 says we are accepted in the beloved one. So many people have a problem with self-acceptance. Some people have a problem with rejection, self-image. Ephesians 1:6 says we are accepted in the beloved one. We're judged by our deeds. How does the book of Ecclesiastes end? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. For God, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We will be rewarded if we obey God. A new desire that we're accepted of him. Do you remember how you met your spouse? Do you remember dating? She picked you up? You know what Eileen tells people? She went to a party and I was the booby prize. You remember you noticed them? You noticed them and then you started kind of getting them to notice you, okay? You sought them and then you got to know them a little bit, and the more you got to know them, the more you started to love them, okay? And then when you loved them, you wanted to make them happy and please them. Yeah, you remember that? Now, that was then, this is now, okay? You know, I tell my students, I ask them, what's the chief cause of divorce in America? And the answer is marriage. Okay? Not for Christians who cherish each other, but for the world, okay? But that's the way it works with God. We seek God. Ye shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. When we seek God, we get to know God. Philippians 3:10, to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. We get to know Jesus. We get to love Jesus when we know him. Luke 10:27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And once we love Jesus, we want to please him. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and blessing. We want to please him. You seek, you know, you love, you please. We have a new desire that we may be accepted of him. Look at chapter 5, verse 15. We have a new object. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We have a new object, to live for Jesus, to live unto Jesus. How do you do that? You do what he did. Jesus said in John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. John 9, 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So we do what he did, and we do what he said. Very interesting verse, John 13, 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We do what he said. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I think the Apostle Paul was into sports. Some sports I like, some sports I don't care for. Every time Tennessee plays, I root for the other guy. Now, my son-in-law played for Tennessee. You know that, okay? But the Vols, okay, all right. They got invited to the toilet bowl this year, okay? I think Paul was into sports. He talks about wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He talked about running. Run the race of life. Paul talked about boxing. I buffet my body, okay? All these Olympic sports. Now, remember, the Olympics started in 776 BC, and they were every 4 years. But in between the Olympics, you had the Isthmian Games at Sparta, the right between the Olympics. So they were the Olympic trials. And when they had the games, you would run the race, and when we came around the finish line, they would put your god, whoever, you know, these were henotheists. They worshiped one god out of many. They worshiped Zeus. They worshiped Vulcan, they worship Poseidon, whichever god was your favorite god, they put the statue of that god at the finish line. So as you rounded the corner and you're in the home stretch and you're giving it everything you've got to finish the race and win, you're looking at your god. And that's where we get Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore we are encompassed with so great a host of witnesses. We're sitting in a stadium. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Or as Paul said, in not Philippians 4:13, but Philippians 3:14, for all you dyslexic people out there, Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:10, if when we were enemies, we were sanctified by his blood, how much more shall be through Jesus' life? Now look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, new destiny, new walk, new desire, new object, a new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You must be born again. John 3:3. They asked George Whitefield, when they were having the great revival in England, why do you always preach you must be born again? He said, because the Bible says you must be born again. The new birth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're born twice, you die once. But if you're born once, you die twice. New creation, and that's what this word means here. This is creation. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. That's the Greek word poema, where we get the word poem. We are his masterpiece, created unto good works, the new birth. We are saved once for all. Jesus said in John 10, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, adoption. Look at what Paul uses. Paul uses the idea that we are adopted into the family of God. The Greek word ouiothesia, adoption. Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now remember, under Roman law, you could disown your natural children. But if you're a Roman and you had adopted a child, you could never disown that child. Roman law forbade disowning, kicking out, cutting off an adopted child. And I think that's why the Holy Spirit led Paul to use the word adoption. Because we can never be kicked out of the family of God. We can never be cut off from God and his love. We have a new birth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look at verses 18 and 19. We have a new attitude. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what does that mean? Why? Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We have a new attitude toward people. There are only two religions in the world. They're everybody trying to reach God. All the philosophies, all the world religions, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Baha'is, and we have, there are only 600,000 Baha'is in America, but we have a Baha'i meeting house where 17 and 92 come together out here. Okay, a Baha'i meeting house, okay. They're all reaching God. Let's reach God by good works. Let's reach God by philosophy. Let's reach God by some kind of sacrifice. Christianity is the only religion where God is reaching down to us. And what do? We are supposed to match people with the outreached hand of God, the ministry of reconciliation. Without God, we're basically selfish, we're self-centered. We are a priesthood of believers. We believe that. Huge Baptist belief, priesthood of believers. 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I've known Baptists that are peculiar, okay? But we are a royal priesthood. What is the Latin word for priest? Pontifex. What does that come from? Pons pontus is the Latin word for bridge. The priest is the bridge that connects two sides of a river. The priest, and we are all priests, the priest is the one that connects people with God. The pontifex, the bridge. We are bridges to connect people with God. The great Indian Christian D.T. Niles, they said, what is the Christian life? He said, the Christian life is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We have a new attitude, reconciliation, bringing people to God. And we have a new occupation, chapter 5, verse 20. Look at verse 20 with me. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have a new occupation. Word ambassador is presbuine, a Roman ambassador. Look at the historical context Paul's writing in. The Roman ambassador was a representative of the king, the emperor himself. When he spoke the words of the emperor. What he did was totally representative of the empire and the emperor, as what we do represents God and God's kingdom. The ambassador arranged peace negotiations for the people that were at war with the Roman Empire. He was a bridge to peace with people at odds with Rome. He also made arrangements for people to come into the Roman Empire Just like we make arrangements for people to come into the kingdom of God, we are ambassadors for Christ. The old Puritans believed that you don't have a job. Your job is your calling. You know, if you wash pots in the kitchen, that's your calling of God. Be a pot washer for Jesus. I saw a bumper sticker one time, coon hunters for Jesus. I'm glad there are coon hunters that love Jesus, okay? But you don't have a job, it's your calling. If God's in control, then what we do for a living is our calling from God. Someone asked a person one time, what's your occupation? Well, I'm a Christian. No, what's your job? I'm a Christian. No, you don't understand. What's your full-time occupation? He said, I pay the bills by being a meat cutter, but my occupation is being a Christian. Seven new things in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have a new destiny, we have a new walk, we have a new desire, we have a new object, we have a new birth, we have a new attitude, and we have a new occupation. We are ambassadors for Christ. Billy Graham said one time, accepting Christ as your personal Savior is the end of the Christian life, but it's the front end. It's the front end. Then we have all these other things ahead of us as we live the Christian life. Look at the last verse. Last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the gospel in a nutshell. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the gospel in one verse. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and he died on the cross for you. And the way to have peace with God, the way to have forgiveness of sins, is for you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, and give you the gift of eternal life. We're going to sing a hymn, hymn number 321. Hymn number 321. This is our invitation hymn. If you have a decision to make, if God is leading you to make a decision to accept Christ, to join the church, to rededicate your life, then we ask you to do that as we sing this invitation hymn number 321. The Savior is waiting. Let's stand together.